Welcome to the B Show.
The B Show.
The B Show.
A wrestling podcast.
Here we are, my friends, another episode of The B Show, a wrestling podcast. Yours truly, Big Smoothie here with you, my man, Dixon. Jay still out.
He's being fancy.
He's out still, and hopefully he'll be back a couple weeks.
I think 2 weeks, he said.
I hope so. He's got a lot to say. He texts us a lot of things.
Yeah, he's
informational.
Very nimble with his thumbs.
Thumbs work? Yeah. Then here you go. But obviously we're 2 weeks behind because you know what? Things happen. Well, things happen. You fell and you got a concussion.
Concussion number 13.
Way to work, man.
It sucked. I'm not going to lie. Like, I've had head injuries before, but like...
This one put you out for a whole week.
10 days. I was on my ass. Like, and you know, like, I'm sure as you've heard through the first few of these podcasts, I was pretty adamant about, you know, Brian Danielson,
yeah,
whatever,
yeah, yeah.
And I now understand why the concussion protocol is what it is. I mean, 24 hours after it happened is when I first started getting symptoms from it. So, you know, I take back everything I said about the WWE doctors.
And here's the thing: is not only did you fall, you broke your tailbone, you had the nastiest welt I've ever seen on the back of somebody's head before.
Well, it was a one and done. It was a one impact concussion, and strangely, the hat I was wearing caused some sort of chemical reaction between my sweat and the material that the hat was made from, and that's what made that big blood blister.
Interesting.
On the back of my head.
Interesting. Is it gone now?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm still not allowed to shave my head for another week.
Do you feel a little weird?
It is weird letting the hair grow in.
Because it's like, you know, you're missing in the middle.
Yeah, I got the horseshoe.
You got the horseshoe.
I got the full-on horseshoe, dude.
You got to love that. Does the missus like that?
She hates it,
actually.
Does she? As much as she loves the beard, she hates the hair,
so
the hairy
random
head.
She's so random on things sometimes.
Love her to death. That's why I married her.
I know.
She's a very strange girl.
I know. So what a couple weeks in the world of wrestling, man. Obviously, WrestleMania on the way. What, a month away, right?
Monday night, they said 34 days.
Yeah, so April 2nd, 3rd?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
We should probably know that date.
Yeah, you're right. Hang on, mate. Wait for it. April 3rd. See? AT&T Stadium, Arlington, Texas. There you go. Like, we do pay attention, but, like, sometimes we hear that so much. I think for us, because we hear it so much, we're just like, okay, I get it.
I have so many dates in my head.
I know. It's crazy.
I just know what WrestleMania Sunday is.
Yes. Yes. But WrestleMania, I mean, it's a big to-do, man. Like, they do a whole week leading up, and I think it's good for the wrestlers because they don't have to travel for that week. They're in the town that they're doing WrestleMania in. The only sad thing is we're not going to see Titus O'Neil because he's suspended, and you know, which he finally came out on how it all went down. I just think we both think it's a crock of shit, but
yeah, you know. And you know, when the dudes that were there for a long time and have the established relationship with Vince, like Scott Hall,
could have done that,
tweeted at Titus O'Neil, and said, "You're my pick for the Andre the Giant Battle Royal."
Right.
And Titus, of course, being the class act that he had, tweeted back and said, "I won't be there.
Pick somebody that will be." Do you think there's some underlying things on that, though? Do you think, like, Scott or one of the guys called Vince, be like, "Listen, man, cut it out"?
Yeah, but it would make him look foolish to go back on it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because this was definitely an all Vince.
100%.
All Vince thing. Because he thought he was being disrespectful. Who the hell knows, man? Who really knows what goes through that dude? There's a lot of juice in that dude's brain, so you never know.
Years and years of it.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Probably some HGH as well.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he's on now. There's no doubt about that. But as we roll into WrestleMania season, obviously the return of Shane McMahon last week.
That was pretty killer.
Pretty, yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody saw it coming.
Not only did nobody see it coming, like, as the old jaded dude, I will honestly say I was shocked by the reception he got.
Really? Well, because he's always been the bad guy on his dad's side.
Sort of. I mean, he was very prolific in the opportunities he had to be a part of the roster as a wrestler. So I get that. But I just think with the time that it's been away, that a lot of the people that are very familiar with his work from back in the day have moved on from the product.
Right.
So it was shocking to me to see this PG-era WWE that really
people
doesn't know Shane McMahon
go
as crazy as they did for the dude.
Well, it's been about 7 years. So
7 years
seven
since
years,
he's
right?
appeared on TV,
And why did he – do you remember why he ended up just, I think he's got his own ventures. He's doing his own stuff.
He had intentions of starting an MMA company. I remember hearing a rumor that when Strikeforce was still in business, he was one of the players behind trying to buy it. And then that kind of faded off because he wanted to be based in New York. And obviously here we sit in New York State.
Can't do any of that.
MMA is not legal. And then I think, you know, just Shane was that dude that I want to say loves the business because his family was in it, but also kind of wanted to step away and test the waters for his own
thing. See what else
he could
do. Make his own mark. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's good to see that, too, because it's kind of a vicious cycle in the world of professional wrestling where you see these second and third generation people come along that are nowhere near as good as the first or second generation that they're following. And you know they're really only doing it to satisfy
their fathers,
the elders.
And yeah, there's very few that are good, and the ones that are good we see that are on the main roster pretty much now, even some of them that aren't good. But, you know, that's kind of how it goes, right?
Who'd have thought Mike Rotundo would have three kids on the WWE roster at one time?
I know, right? That's insane. And at least one of them's good, but they can't use them right. I don't understand that at all.
I don't get the whole Bray Wyatt.
No, I don't understand. But obviously Shane McMahon coming back and then him taking on The Undertaker. Did you see that coming?
No.
Do you really care?
I care because it's in Hell in a Cell. I care because I know Undertaker's a little bit protected because it can be a brawl and very punch-punch-kick. But it also gives Shane the opportunity to jump off something ridiculously tall.
Because he likes to do that. But now he's like 40.
He's exactly...
Is he 41? 40?
42. He's 42.
But like, this isn't like when he got thrown through the glass with Angle and he was in La La Land.
Right.
Or jumped off the frickin' the Titantron and land. I mean, homeboy's going to break himself. Because you know he's going to go and try to jump off the cage, or he's going to hang in the cage, or they're going to go on top of the cage.
There's no doubt they're going to the top of the cage. No doubt in my mind whatsoever.
Right. I mean, obviously the cages are a little bit more sturdy now compared to where they were in the past.
If we're comparing the current Hell in the Cell to the one that Mick Foley climbed 18, 17 years ago, it's a completely different structure.
Oh, absolutely.
It's far more rigid. It's made to be climbable. We all know that there's that breakaway panel on the top, you know, like... I think what's bothering me the most about it is there's no real explanation
of why.
Exactly. When the gong hit Monday night, I was like, okay, cool. This is where Undertaker can be Undertaker, and he can come out and he can lay out this promo that even if there's logical holes, it'll at least make sense.
Right, where, Shane, you did this to me, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you've buried me and all this other stuff. Yeah, right,
and instead he just comes out, grabs Vince by the throat, and he's like, I hope you know what happens in there. The blood is on your hands. And then the gong hits again, and he's gone, and it's just like...
What just happened?
It's typical WWE booking. It's just, it's thrown together.
They're not
no
putting a story. There's no story behind it.
And if you want to do that, then that's fine.
Right.
But you have to emulate what MMA is doing. And have matchups.
Yeah.
Where, like, there's times Conor McGregor is the biggest dickbag in the world, and he's the heel.
Yep.
But then there's times, depending on, like, now he's fighting Nick Diaz.
Yeah.
Now, Nick Diaz is obviously the bigger tool of the two.
Absolutely.
So, you know, Conor's the fan favorite.
Right.
And I feel like if pro wrestling took its nod from MMA as far as the character building, because let's be honest, there's just as much promo cutting
absolutely
in MMA and UFC.
Oh, yeah.
As
no doubt.
Is, you know, I mean, that's coming firsthand from somebody that actually sat through some of these interviews being taped.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that somebody is inherently good all the time or inherently bad all the time. I think you let the dictate match or the matchup dictate
who's good,
who's bad
yeah.
in this particular formula.
Well, it's like listen, Undertaker is never going to be the bad guy. He just isn't. He's too old.
Everybody loves him.
Yeah. And I think maybe they thought with Shane coming out, he was going to get booed. You know, maybe that's what they thought. And then all of a sudden he gets cheered and they're like, oh, shit.
Well, look what happened with Rock and Hogan back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, the WWE universe, so to speak, is a very fickle bunch and they're going to do what they want to do.
They don't care. They don't care. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it should be, it's an interesting match. I don't see. I don't know. I don't know. Is Shane staying? Is he going? Is this a one-time shot?
I can't see him sticking around. I mean, he even alluded to this being something to help this year's WrestleMania when he did the ESPN interview.
Gotcha. I don't know. I don't like it.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. WrestleMania doesn't feel like WrestleMania this year.
No.
It feels like just another pay-per-view.
Yep. Well, there's
and
nothing special.
That.
There's nothing special there. I mean, obviously, all right, so here's what we got so far. We got Ambrose taking on Brock. I kind of like it for the brawling aspect, but we've talked about it where Ambrose is just going to get buried.
He's going to get hurt.
And he's going to probably get hurt. And then you got Triple H and Reigns.
But you never know. Ambrose could take the title from Triple H before WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's just stupid.
If you couldn't tell by the goofy voice, that was me being sarcastic.
I'll tell you, though, I kind of enjoyed the opening promo for Monday night on how Ambrose, because Ambrose is where Reigns should be. Right, they should flip-flop, because honestly, Ambrose is that, if they're trying to push that pseudo-Austin character now, Ambrose is that guy, right? And then you got, you know, Reigns is the killer. So that's the way it should be, but it's not. They're trying to push Reigns because he's a big guy. You know, he's muscle. But I like Ambrose. I know you hate how he wrestles in with the, you know, the jeans and that. But I like what they did with the character Monday. I actually enjoyed it.
It's just kind of corny to me, man. Like, here's the thing, and I'm just going to say this. Because, like, you and I grew up kind of similarly.
Yes.
Remember in high school,
mm-hmm.
there's two kinds of crazy kid.
Okay.
There's the kid that wanted you to think he was crazy.
Yeah.
So he acted crazy.
Yeah.
And then there was that quiet weirdo
that
everybody knew not to mess with because he was legitimately crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Ambrose is column A,
yes,
not column B. And that's why I don't buy into it, because I know
he's
really not. Even when he was John Moxley in CZW, he still had this sort of corny, buffoonish presentation to his crazy character.
Right.
It's like, all right, dude, here's what you need to do. Roddy Piper, 1981, Georgia Championship Wrestling. Go watch those tapes.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Pillman with his little splash in ECW before he joined the Hart Foundation in WWE.
Yep.
Go watch those tapes. If you want to legitimately come across as crazy, I mean, you've got Jericho in the dressing room now. One of the dudes that is great at that weird
mind game. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, take some notes from him, because the way you're doing it, Dean, is not believable. And granted, I get it. It's not for me. It's for the 12-year-old kids whose parents are buying tickets.
Sure.
And to them, he probably does come off as crazy.
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you, man, like, I don't buy into him being able to stand up to Lesnar. And truthfully, you can tell by that look on Lesnar's face when he's dealing with Dean Ambrose that he's not enjoying this either. And that's usually when he hurts somebody.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's going to come out where, I'm telling you right now, he's going to break something. Legit. He's going to break something.
Yeah. Thankfully, he's not the big muscle-bound dude, so he's not all stiff and unlimber.
Yeah, he could take some shots, but he's going to hurt himself. So, WrestleMania coming up. Obviously, those are the only three matches. Is there anything else that we're missing that maybe they're... I mean, obviously, we're going to get a Divas Championship match, which
it's going to be a three-way.
I just... They had something, and they lost me. You know what? Because they're not pushing... I mean, we've talked about it before. They're not pushing the right divas. Don't get me wrong. Those divas, you got to bring up Bayley. You want a freaking face to go against the heel, you have to have Bayley there.
But with the way WrestleMania works, as it being the
she may be
season
there.
Finale
yeah,
to the
she'll
year
be there
of
the
WWE,
day after. Yeah.
She'll be there the Monday after Mania.
Right, because you know we're gonna see a bunch of NXT come up, and we're actually going to talk about come up here in just a bit. But
obviously, there's got to be some sort of Wyatt match.
Wyatt match. We're going to see a tag championship match somewhere in here.
I'm pretty sure that just based off what we've seen on TV this week with AJ and Jericho, that there'll be, my guess is that we're building towards a best of seven a la Magnum TA and Nikita Koloff. But you never know. I mean, I don't want to see AJ and Jericho versus the Usos at or New Day at WrestleMania.
New Day, I wouldn't mind seeing. But.
Right. That would work. But
do you think they have squandered AJ? From the jump here? Or are they doing the right thing where get that big pop, bring him back down here, and then build him back up?
I like the fact that it's a slow build and he wasn't pushed into one of the secondary titles that doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as you win that secondary title, you start losing all the time.
Right.
So the fact that they've kept him away from a title, they've kept him even Steven with Jericho.
Yep.
They've both gone over Miz. They've both gone over the same, I think it was Curtis Axel, whoever it was.
Yep.
So, like, the fact that they're just putting him on the same level as Jericho, who's a guy that they consider to be one of their top part-timers, says to me that they see something in the kid.
Right.
What the next step is...
Who knows?
I'm not sure, because, again, we've got those WrestleMania call-ups day after.
Yep.
And I told you about it earlier, man. I mean, there's a Baylor Club t-shirt that says Bulletproof on it that Finn Balor put out on his Instagram over the weekend, or it might have been Monday, but... It's happening, man. Anderson and Gallows are in Florida.
Let's get into that, man, as long as we're going that route. Okay, so Baylor Club was the Bullet Club, or it started as the Baylor Club.
Started as the Baylor Club.
Turned into the Bullet Club. Baylor left, came to NXT, and then, of course, they signed AJ, and then they signed Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah. And Nakamura.
Nakamura, too. So let's talk. Day after WrestleMania right now, what are your thoughts? Who's coming up?
I think it'll be the Baylor Club. I think you'll see Baylor, Anderson, Gallows all come up.
Opening segment of Raw?
Oh, God, no, because it'll be Triple H or Vince or
whoever
Stephanie
has the belt. Yeah. Right.
Let's also talk about the possibility that, like, Seth Rollins is getting damn close to being healed up.
Should be. He should be. Maybe he comes back at WrestleMania.
Or the day after.
Or the day after. And says, hey, it's time for me to get... But maybe
I'll
he
tell
comes
you,
back...
no better foil.
Yeah.
Finn Balor, Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be a great way to launch that.
Right.
And if you're looking for a tag team, I mean, potentially could have the Shield versus the Bullet Club right off the get.
Do you think they come back and put the Shield back together?
I would hope so.
Is that the smart play right now?
Right now, no. I think if it's me,
mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for next year's WrestleMania. I tease it day after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And then I build towards it for an entire year.
Maybe what they do is they come back, hey, I need a partner. I'm sorry, blah, 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 blah. You know, because he's out. Obviously, when you're out hurt, you have that compassion spot. So the audience feels sorry for you and blah, you know, all that. And then maybe they team up and... Maybe the Baylor Club comes up as the new Shield with Triple H and all that, and then they come in and they run roughhouse. Because that's what they need, a team to come up and run roughhouse just like the Shield did. But they need to put it between the Shield and Nexus. I think if you have a team that's kind of how those two teams went, and they just come in and be like, listen, this is who we are. You don't like it, we don't give a shit. This is what we're doing.
I think Baylor Club could definitely do that. I think... I mean, well, with the Freebirds going into the Hall of Fame this year, well-deserved.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we get more groups of three, groups of four,
yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think it's cool because there are some four-man groups. There's some three-man groups.
Yeah.
And they're pairing off three versus four sometimes,
sure.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Where if we remember back to the Attitude Era, it was groups of four. It was a Nation of Domination.
Right.
Los Barrios.
It was always fours. Yeah.
You know, because everybody's trying to recreate the Four Horsemen. And a lot of people forget that some of the best factions in history were the original Wolfpack of the NWO, which was Hall, Nash, and Hogan.
Yep.
The Fabulous Freebirds
were
a three-man team, regardless of which lineup you're talking about.
Right.
So maybe that's what we're coming back to, is actually having like these little groups within groups.
So let's say we're talking groups. Now you see with Baylor comes back. Do you see AJ go with them? Do you see, you know what I'm saying? Does that maybe come into play? Or does Nakamura come up too? And now you're looking at maybe a group of five. Do we see something
like
that?
Don't keep Nakamura completely separate because he's Japanese.
Gotcha, okay.
There's no way. And it, what's cool is the dude actually
Or maybe
has,
they put him with Lucha Dragons. I'm just kidding.
Maybe we can put him on lawn tractors.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, all right. Put it, you know.
My biggest worry is that they come up and it's the Ascension.
Oh, I know. What a waste they did with those guys. And they're just still jobbing. I mean, is it 2 years later?
It's almost
2 years
later.
I mean, they were
later.
Killers in NXT.
Yeah. For me, you can talk about Bo Dallas. You can talk about Adam Rose. You can even talk about Neville and Sami Zayn and all these guys that everybody's talking about. Oh, they missed the boat. No, if you want to talk about missed the boat, go back and watch the Ascension matches from before they got called up and tell me that this wasn't going to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
And then look what happened with the...
Well, and they brought him in and they to go against, you know, you're talking smack about LOD, you're talking smack about all these, you know, great tag teams. I mean,
like a third class Powers of Pain.
It really, like, what are you doing? Like, if I'm a writer, I don't want anybody going against those big dog tag teams. You know what I mean? It's crazy, man. And I don't know. They just made them look like a bunch of fools.
It would have been way more effective to have them come back and talk about the tag teams that were currently there.
Yeah.
And not run down LOD, Dudley's, British Bulldogs, and Demolition, the four top,
right,
most popular tag teams of all time.
Right. Yeah, absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. So, I mean, it should be good. Do we see Bayley come up after WrestleMania?
Absolutely. You need that girl next door foil to go at Charlotte. That's what's not working with Becky Lynch and Sasha.
Yeah. No. Because, well, and let's be honest, Sasha was, she's a badass. She's meant to be a heel. She's not meant to be a face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we have that going. So you do that. I think that's the way to go. Speaking of the women, and I know you're not big on the women, but
oh, I like women.
I know you like women, but yeah, just not what they're doing. Who's the second? Because they seem to have always a secondary thing happening now. We always get two matches on Raw,
which I wish would stop.
Well, because usually they're not good. But who's the secondary chicks right now? I mean, are we?
I think Naomi, just the way she's been presented on television, is
they're going to push her. It looks like. Or keep her where she's at, and then,
yeah,
you know.
It's hard for me to look at what they're doing on TV and go, why are you establishing two female heels that are never going to face off?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Naomi is going over as, like, what did they call her the other night? The alpha feline or something stupid.
Yeah.
So you know she's getting the push.
Sure, absolutely.
And obviously Charlotte's getting the push because she's got the strap.
Right.
But wouldn't it make more sense to push Natty? Or
somewhere in there.
Somewhere
in there.
You need after WrestleMania to have that girl that's going to come in and face Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And if it's Bayley, it's Bayley. But by the same token, you can't have Charlotte wrestle Bayley. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, it's got to be put off to the pay-per-view.
Right. You know what you do? You have her come in. You have her debut, then you have, oh, here she comes, and you know they do this whole thing, and then you know, and then maybe they throw somebody in there. I don't think Charlotte needs somebody to be with her at this point. You know what I'm saying?
I think Flair's there, because of WrestleMania.
Right. I think he'll be gone after that.
I
don't think that they need anybody to be with her. So it's, you know, it's one of those things where don't build a faction with the chicks. Let her go out and be the destroyer that she is, a la China, and you know, I mean, that kind of thing.
I actually started thinking about it the other night. I'd like to see Naomi and Paige. I think that would be a good match.
Yeah, what the hell? That's right. She's out doing whatever
Day
it is.
Remember.
Day Remember stuff. Yeah, it could be good. I mean, it could be good. You know, I don't think we're gonna get the Bellas back. So, you know, it is what it is.
You really
but
want
who cares?
Back.
I mean, I don't really care anymore. I mean, they're all for show anyway.
Yeah,
you know, that's what they should have stayed
as.
Yeah, pretty much. So, anybody else we think we're going to see come up from NXT that's ready?
Man, they keep talking about Baron Corbin, but all I see in Baron Corbin is...
He's a dick.
Who's the dude that's in TNA now that was like the Scottish dude? He was in three-man band.
Oh, you're... Oh, geez. Really? not Luke. You're going to hang...
What is this dude's name? He was Triple H's like golden boy.
Yes, he was the golden boy, and then it just I don't know. It went in the toilet. Jinder Mahal, that was the other one.
Yeah, that was the
come on, where are you? Drew McIntyre.
Yes.
There you go.
To me, Baron Corbin, both facially, moveset wise, everything else. Is just Drew McIntyre version 2.0, but let's go back to Drew McIntyre version 1.0. Didn't work.
No.
Didn't work when your traveling buddy is the guy that's in charge of everything.
Yeah, he couldn't push him. It was him and Sheamus. Remember, it was him and Sheamus, and then Sheamus got the push, and then McIntyre got the dump. I wish they would have pushed McIntyre instead of Sheamus.
You and me both, because I Sheamus, to me, isn't bad.
Yeah.
But he's so bland.
Oh, it's the same movesets. It's the same stuff. I'll be honest, he's probably a better face than he is a heel at this point. Only because of his movesets. Yeah, well, not even that. But he doesn't do anything that's, you know, heelish. You know what I mean?
Other than hang out with other heels.
Yeah, yeah. And then you know, come and just bury people. I mean, that's, whatever. It is what it is.
At least he stopped with the face braids.
Yeah. Well, are they not promoting... Are they not promoting Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 yet?
Not yet. No.
When it comes back around, I bet that it looks much better with a full beard, doesn't he?
Oh, God.
I don't know what the hell they were thinking with that.
He doesn't look like somebody else has done it for him, that's for sure.
So, running around the world of wrestling, good to see that JR is going to be voicing or doing commentary on Access for New Japan. That's good.
how was it the other day too? He's gonna be doing some MMA as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, you're not gonna get any better than Jim Ross. I mean, dude has Bell's palsy on both sides of his face.
And still does it.
And still is 1,000 times better than Michael Cole, who's in the best shape of his life.
Ah, Michael Cole, what the, I just
Syracuse alum Michael Cole.
Yeah, it sucks.
I know.
There's just nobody. Is he really from Syracuse?
He went to SU, yeah.
Ah, he's one of those guys. Oh, he's one of those. He's one of those Newhouse dicks. Is that what he is? Is there anybody that they have at WWE that's any good on commentary?
Mauro Ranallo.
Okay, but he's on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So nobody else.
No.
Yeah. Well, Triple H, I mean, launched what's his name across the. thought he broke him in half.
Here's the thing. In two
Byron,
years,
I thought he broke Byron in half Monday night.
In 2 years, Byron Saxton will be really good.
Yeah.
But
yep.
The issue is Michael Cole got okay because of the talent he was around. You know what I mean? When you've got Jim Ross and a younger Jerry Lawler,
yeah,
it's very easy to absorb things even if
because
you're
they're good at
there.
What they do. Yeah.
But now you've got Byron Saxton sitting next to what I would consider to be a third generation Gordon Solie.
Right.
You go Solie, Ross, Cole.
Right.
And it's a dude that doesn't really have a love for the industry the way JR did.
No.
Gordon Solie.
No, not at all.
So you're
not
looking
at
a dude that's trying to pull off a coachman and jump to a legitimate sport. It's not going to happen because he's not talented enough.
No.
And I did see on WrestleZone.com, I will give them the plug because it's the only place I've seen it. Talk of Mauro actually coming over and replacing one of the three jabbering heads on Raw.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping it's JBL.
You don't like JBL?
I don't.
No?
If he would keep his opinions out of things and learn more of the actual move names, wouldn't have a problem with it.
Right.
But when your only job is to talk for 3 hours on Monday night with somebody feeding you all the information and you can't do the legwork to figure out what Kalisto's finisher is called.
Right, yeah.
It gets under my skin.
It does. I get you on that. I definitely get you on that. You know, it is what it is. So that's a good thing for JR and for New Japan.
Absolutely.
Also, Ring of Honor. And
top prospects tournament.
You happen to catch that, man. What were your thoughts on that?
Despite the fact that they overlooked Brute Van Slyke, who was very deserving.
That's your boy.
He is. I mean,
that's your boy.
You can't tell me any of these eight dudes in the top prospects tournament spent time in Japan last year.
Right.
At a high
lot of
level.
Time, not just a little, a lot of time. And got a lot of heat, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is a dude that went to Japan and was feared the way Stan Hansen, Terry Gordy, and Bruiser Brody were when they went over in the late 70s and early 80s. I mean, Japanese fans actually take it as a compliment when you hit them.
Right.
You know? Yeah. But somehow he didn't make it in. I'll stop complaining about that because I got to see Leo Rush, who's all of about 5'3". He might be 130 pounds. And he just went through Punisher Martinez. Like, went through him. Like, obviously he did the little guy sell for the longest time.
But right.
Take the mask off Kalisto, make him three times faster with a way cooler moveset. That's Leo Rush.
Nice.
Learned the ropes at Maryland Championship Wrestling. He's in the top prospects tournament. I think he's going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's too talented to not. And then I got to see the other side of it, too. It was Action Ortiz, and I forget who the other guy was. I should remember this, but I'm coming back from a head injury.
Yeah.
Leo Rush, hands down, I think, is the coolest small man not signed to WWE right now.
Is there do we ever see a guy like that end up in WWE?
You did once. His name was Rey Mysterio.
Well, you're right. You're 619, yo. Ugh. Hey, but the kids liked him.
That's true. He did sell a lot of merch.
Does that matter? The kids liked him. That's good. I have not watched. I'll be honest. I haven't watched any TNA.
There's an interesting article that I'm going to read when we get off doing this here. One of the dirt sheets put up called Four Reasons You Should Be Watching TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Want to read it?
All right.
I'll take it into advisement.
So we'll put that in for next week.
And we'll talk about it next week. But
is there any reasons that you really think they should?
I mean, I'll be honest. I watched TNA 2 weeks ago, and it was one of the funniest things I've seen since the Entourage movie.
Just bad?
Yeah, like laughably bad.
Yeah, it's bad. It is bad. There's no stars there, man. They got nothing.
I mean, there are, but they're chewed up and
Well, besides beer money, I don't have any other reason to watch. know what I'm saying? Because I generally liked those guys when they were a heel tag team.
I have a friend and a half there with Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards.
Right.
I'm not counting Wolves. Davey because Davey jacked himself up and he's on the shelf for 8 months.
Yeah.
And Eddie Edwards, as much as I love him and fear him at the same time, I would like to see him be successful.
As a singles guy?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's got nothing against Davey because I love Davey too. I'm even
more frightened
of him.
You come to a point now where you at least got to try to go, you know, singles are where it's at. You know what I mean?
I love the American Wolves as a team, but I do genuinely think that both of them, much like the British Bulldogs back in the day, would be better served to have their own direction.
Right.
Because they do work fantastic together. The weaknesses one has, the other covers, and vice versa.
Yep.
But as singles guys, I see Eddie Edwards as being probably the single most talented and ready-to-go guy on the TNA roster right now. With Austin Aries leaving, Bobby Roode, James Storm getting a little bit older, Angle walking out. We can see the Hardys are just broken.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you've got EC3.
Which is just terrible.
Right?
Tyrus is there.
Tyrus is there, and he just... When's the last time you saw that dude?
I see his Instagram. I follow him on Instagram.
What's going on with him?
He looks like a pear.
Right?
He looks like a pear.
At one point, like, he was a big, beefy dude.
Yep.
Then he lost a bunch of weight, and I think he looked the best he did in his career.
Yep.
And now it just seems like instead of working out, he eats. So he hasn't gotten bigger.
He looks like a pear.
But he's gotten dumpy. Like, his shoulders...
He's not that
there anymore.
Yeah.
He's got furniture disease.
Yeah.
His chest done fell into his drawers. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's like everything
oh,
just.
Oh, it's so great. It's so
sunk.
Great. Yeah. He's just,
and that's
not
a dude
good.
That I had, like, a lot of respect for. That was a dude that I was.
Well, he did everything that WWE wanted him.
Yeah.
And then they didn't like it anymore and they dumped him.
Dance, fat man.
Yeah. Dance. You know? Dance. You're going to do this for 2 years. And then after coming in as Christian's killer, right? I think he was the bodyguard. And then, listen, we're done with you. Thanks. We appreciate it, okay? Have a good day. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense.
I mean, he got one man ganged.
He did. You're absolutely right.
He came in as a badass.
Yes.
He got turned into a joke. And then when the joke was over, they were like, bye.
We're done with you. And the dude sold merch, though.
He did.
That's, you know what I mean? It's like, dude, why do you get rid of a guy that sells merch? You keep dancing. You keep bringing the kids in the ring, do the little truffle shuffle around. Everything's all good. Oh, man. They
but
did
no.
that dude wrong. They did him wrong.
Yeah.
Anybody that you think that we should be looking out for here in the next month or so leading up to WrestleMania?
Not really. I don't have a lot of hope for WrestleMania. The one thing I did see over the weekend, if we're going to backtrack a little bit to Ring of Honor, Dalton Castle's boys actually wrestled a tag team match against Silas Young and the Beer City Bruiser, and they're good.
Check that. I'm sure that's
they're
on
brothers.
Then on YouTube?
It should be, yeah. But, like, I mean, they're smaller, high flyers, and they're definitely some sort of ethnic.
Yeah.
They almost kind of look Samoan-ish. I don't think they are, though. But tag team-wise, I mean, it was really cool. There was a, it got a little indie-rific at times with some of the things they decided to do, but if these kids are given a year to actually become a tag team.
Yeah.
We're talking three.
Oh, well, you're talking Ring of Honor, where they allow them guys to develop a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? While they're there. Even TNA, to an extent, allows those guys to develop at least. WWE allows nobody to develop unless they're in NXT. Even then, they're pushed through hard through the system.
Well, a big part of why the guys in Ring of Honor and TNA have a chance to polish their shit, so to speak.
Right.
Is because when there isn't Ring of Honor or TNA or PWG or whatever it is that they're working, there's the indie shows that they go out and they interact with other people.
Absolutely.
And that's really what it boils down to. And I think at some point, somebody in WWE and the Performance Center need to look at that and go, hey, you know what would be cool? Let's just open this up to the indie guys to come in. Because there's a lot of older indie guys on the circuit
that want,
still doing it.
That want one last run.
Not necessarily even want one last run, but would be happy to come in and lay down some knowledge for these young kids that are going to take the industry over.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know what I mean?
It'll never happen, but...
Think about all the retired big-name stars that live in and around Orlando.
There's a ton
hundreds of them.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And maybe with them bringing Brian Danielson down there, you know what I'm saying? Maybe we'll see that a little bit more because obviously he worked with a bunch of those guys in the indies. And
I mean, you've got Meng, the Barbarian... Samu. Sorry, brain.
It's not working for you?
No, not today.
Should I put a ding, ding, ding,
Barry Windham.
Ding.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many names that you would recognize if I could make my brain work and say them
it's
out
all good.
Loud. Where, like, you would be like, oh, man, if I was Dash Wilder,
yeah.
I would love to have Arn Anderson show up and
oh my
explain
God.
To me the psychology of tag team wrestling and why the tag rope's important.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because that's something that passes it down. Because those are little things that disappear from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
You know
oh,
what
we
I mean?
Saw the tag ropes go away for how long?
Yeah.
And then they brought them back, you know? Well, they went away in WWE for a long time.
Yeah.
Everything else didn't matter. Real quick before we go, where the hell is Randy Orton?
Maybe St. Louis. My guess would be in a strip club, probably on drugs.
That's beautiful.
If he never came back, I wouldn't care.
I think they screwed his character up. He had not. I mean, there's nothing left for him. You know, it's either you're a heel. He can't be a heel anymore because he's over. And then, but he's a terrible face.
He's not a good guy.
And he doesn't sell merch.
No.
You know.
Well, the thing with Orton and the reason that he's around is because he appeals to the female demographic.
Right.
He's the dude all the girls want to bang.
Yep. And unfortunately, he actually bangs them.
He certainly does. He's the king of the rats. Or was. I will say was.
Okay. All right.
Was.
There you go. Check it out, man. That is the end of the podcast. That's all we have for you today. The Beast Show, a wrestling podcast. Enjoy your week.
Bye.